Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I have Chris Freitag with me, who is one of the most awesome women, period. I just have to leave it at that. You'll know once you listen to her on this show, if you haven't heard of her before, she's very, I'm gonna say she's a legend in the space. She is just gorgeous. You would never, I'm not even gonna tell you her age, just listen to the show and then go to her website and you're gonna see not only a ton of amazing content, you'll be able to tell that that Chris and her team, they've got training online, they've got pretty much everything. She's so passionate about helping other people get well, get fit, feel better, look better. And she's just an extraordinary woman, full of energy, but she keeps it real. So ladies, if you're listening and you feel like as you're, you know, past 30, past 35, past 40, past 50, that, you know, you just can't get fit, your body's just changed, nothing works for you, think again. And that's a big part of what we want to do on this show, but also on all of our Fitfluential channels, is keep it real, make fitness and getting healthy accessible, and provide you with a lot of information that'll probably dispel a lot of your own myths that you've been believing. There's a lot of misinformation and myths, it's hard to say that word and not screw it up, that are still floating around the media space, in the fitness, health, and wellness space. And we're here to cut it down, make it simple, make it accessible for you so that you can realize, like, hey, wait a second. I've never thought about that approach. I didn't know I could be doing this. A teeny bit of just official information from Chris's bio. Fitfluencer, as she puts it, Chris Freitag, is a TV personality, author, and motivational speaker. For sure, you're going to be motivated when you finish listening to this chat we had. She's been sharing the message of healthy living for over 25 years while teaching fitness classes, writing books, creating workouts, and sharing her knowledge in magazines, TV, and online. She has two websites, gethealthyyou.com, a women's fitness and lifestyle website, and I can tell you it is filled with free workouts, advice, and recipes, reaching more than 2 million people a month. GetHealthyYou TV is her membership website where she offers full-length workouts and live workouts. And when you tune in, you will also have an exclusive, ridiculous offer that she's created for our Fitfluential community for that Get Healthy You TV membership site, which is awesome. And we're very grateful for that, Chris. So everybody tune in. I'm sure you will enjoy and be very motivated by this chat with Chris Freitag. Everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm here with Chris. Chris, are you ready to go today?
Yes, I am. I'm excited.
I'm so thrilled that you're here. We've been working on this, and probably most of this has been my crazy, ever-changing schedule. So I'm so glad that you said yes to coming on the show. I so look up to you. You're a total hottie, and people, when they know that you're not 29 on this show, are going to freak out when they look you up, because you are just the embodiment of fit at any age. But in particular, we're going to talk shortly in the show about fitness after 40, after 50, and that it's really an ageless thing. And we're going to dispel a lot of myths and stereotypes and so on. But whenever I first have guests on the show, I do always like to ask them, you know, when was it for you that, I mean, people are going to look you up on your websites, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show, but they're going to look you up and go, and this is a common misunderstanding in the fitness space. They'll see someone like you who's beautiful, in fantastic shape, and go, well, she must be a trainer. She has it easy. And they just think that it's like this thing you were gifted with. And that's quite often far from the truth. So my question to you is, when did you first become interested in leading a fitness, health, and wellness lifestyle for whatever that looked like for you? When was that? Why was that? And then when did you find your fitness? Like, when did you find your groove where you were like, okay, this really works for me? Because for some people, it's when they first start. For others, it happens down the road after they've, you know, taken a few paths and found what works for them and most importantly, what they enjoy. So three-part question. When did you start down your journey? Why was that? And when did you really find your groove, find your fitness?
Okay, well, I'll keep it short.
No pressure.
I'll keep it short, but I was interested in fitness before I knew what fitness was. When I grew up in the 70s and I was in grade school and it was Title IX when women started having team sports. I mean, that's how old I am. I figured out that I loved running. I loved running. I loved doing athletic things. It just made me feel good. I didn't even know what endorphins were. I just knew I liked it. I went to college. I loved running. I found a girlfriend of mine that we ran together every day. And I told a counselor that I was interested in fitness. This was 1983 when I went to college. And the counselor said to me, there's no such thing. I mean, there's not a career in fitness. What do you want to do for your career?
Wow.
Yeah. Back then that wasn't really a career path. Then I was like, oh, okay. Well, luckily for me, I guess I could say I majored in journalism, which was my second love. I love to write. I love to talk. If anyone who knows me, I love to communicate. And so I majored in journalism, graduated from college, loved it, but fitness was still in my heart. And I was teaching group fitness, or back then we called it dance aerobics.
Aerobics. I'm sorry.
Right. Dance aerobics as my side hustle, you know, back in the 80s. That was my thing I did at night after work. And then personal training just became a thing for women. And this was like early 90s where women were lifting weights. Women were getting certified as personal trainers. And I kind of made the quick switch from journalism to personal training and continuing to teach group fitness because I knew that that was, you know, in my heart. So that's when I spent like a decade doing that of just training and teaching and really immersed only in exercise science and fitness. And then slowly but surely, I started marrying my journalism background back with my fitness. Needless to say, I started early on creating fitness VHS tapes. So back in the day of VHS tapes, I hooked up with I produced one myself, and then I hooked up with a bunch of different companies that would hire me to create their VHS tapes. Then it became DVDs, and then, you know, now, as we'll talk later, a streaming service. But I guess I could say I was lucky enough to marry my journalism back with my fitness, but I always knew that fitness made me feel good. Now, Kelly, I am not one of those trainers who has that story that says, you know, I lost 100 pounds or this happened to me or that happened to me. But I am your typical female who, you know, has worked full time. I have three kids. I'm busy. I got a lot of stress, you know, in my life like other people do. And I'm always just striving to take care of myself. And it wasn't necessarily about weight loss, although I've helped, you know, hundreds and hundreds of women lose lots of weight. But for me, it was feeling good. But here's the one thing I would say, if you don't mind me. When you're in your 20s, and I think, Kelly, you would agree with me. Like, when you're in your 20s...
I thought you were going to say, Kelly, I think you're in your 20s. I'm like, sorry.
No, I wasn't going to say that. Even though, honey, you do look like you're in your 20s because you are one beautiful woman. But my kids are in their 20s. So when I look at, you know, people in their 20s, you can't necessarily tell who's working out, who's not. Even in their 30s, I might say, you're not sure who's... like, there are a lot of women who look fit who aren't doing a darn thing. But when you hit 40 and when you hit 50... you can really tell who's working out and who's not. And it starts to keep you sane. It keeps your energy levels up. It keeps your metabolism up. It keeps your skin from getting all, you know, crepey and loose. It keeps your skin glowing. I mean, there's so many reasons to continue to work out into age. And so my why started out that I loved helping people and I loved fitness. My why now is I really want to help women understand that fitness is accessible. And the word that we use at Get Healthy You for women over 40 is relevant. I mean, no longer am I trying to look sexy or trying to, you know, wear my string bikini on the beach or whatever it might be, but I want to feel relevant. I want to look good. I want to wear cute clothes. I want to feel like, you know, I might look like I'm 50, but I look good. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for. And that's what I want to help other people with.
That's so awesome. And it's so true. You know, I mean, sometimes I think that part as well of I started, I think I had the idea of getting interested in fitness seriously, like in 90, 94, 95, when the Firm Workouts first came out on VHS, of course, I would rent them from the library. remember that, like the really high, they wore nude pantyhose with leg warmers and the really high cut unitards.
I wore that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, back then I'm like, that's hot. I've got to get that. And I proudly back then, I owned a unitard and I was like, look at me, girls. But I wanted to get into fitness then, but then it definitely had many evolutions for me and it grew over the years and my reasons changed. But the other thing I feel, you know, you mentioned it's going to help you in every way from an air quotes aging perspective. I really want to take away the thought that aging is bad and aging can be great because absolutely. I feel sometimes I'm 48 and I sometimes feel that maybe because I have this fitness lifestyle, I feel so much younger than I am and I have to clock myself and go, okay, Kelly. In fact, we just had this conversation with my trainer at the gym. We were talking about tattoos and belly button rings. And I'm like, yeah, I had a belly ring and I can't seem to get it so I can have a belly button ring and not have it be, you know, infected. And he's like, Kelly, you're kind of past the point where you should be wearing like belly shirts. And I'm like, what? And you know, so yeah, it's like age appropriate. I want to look good. And I had that moment of like, yeah, at 48, I probably should not be trying to do what, you know, Britney Spears did back in her 20s. Like, I get it, but yeah, it really absolutely does. And I will just say on a side note, like I just shared with Chris before we got on the show, I had my first Botox the other day or last week or something, a couple weeks ago. And it was the coolest thing ever. And, you know, there's other things that you can do too, if you choose to go that route. We want to just encourage women, be informed and make your own decisions. But you will be amazed how much will change in your life. It's not just about your weight on the scale. So I love that answer. And then before we start actually diving into this topic, I was taking notes while you were talking. And again, I grew up with VHS tapes and VCR tapes. When you said that back in 1983, in your college years, being a trainer and going down fitness as a profession was not available, like that blows my mind that fitness as a profession and being a trainer is this recent. And in fact, you know, when we look at the New York City Marathon and Shalene, I mean, everybody's amazing. And then I think it seems like it was very recent that women weren't even, quote unquote, allowed to run in a marathon. And you think how far fitness has come in a short amount of time. I had no idea about that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it is amazing. And I mean, when I think back into the 70s, where, you know, women weren't really exercising a lot. And then in the 80s, you know, on college campuses now today, every university has a beautiful facility for these mm-hmm. co-eds to work out in. I mean, there was no such thing as a gym when I was in college. Yeah. Like, nobody belonged to a gym or, quote unquote, went to a gym or lifted weights. You know, we were like out of the ordinary that my girlfriend and I would go running every day. People are like, why are you doing that? You know? And so it really is that recent, but I really realized at an early age that fitness gave me confidence, that fitness made me stand taller, hold my head up higher, resist, you know, stress, be a better parent. And I started coming up with all these strategies of how to fit fitness into my life. And then I would talk to all these women who would say, oh my gosh, I can't exercise. My family doesn't allow it. You know, we're too busy. I can't exercise. I can't cook healthy. My husband doesn't like it. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these people are stuck in a quagmire. Like, they need to get out of it and understand that they are a better human, a better person, you know, they will achieve more personally, professionally, and with their family if they take better care of themselves. And then that became my hill to die for. But Kelly, like you, Jane Fonda was my inspiration back in the day. Like when I saw Jane Fonda, I'm like, girl, I gotta be Jane Fonda. And I have always loved group exercise. I am a huge extrovert. You know, being by myself to exercise is not my thing. I love groups of people. I taught a class this morning. I had 60, 70 people in my class this morning. I mean,
wow.
I love it. And I find, you know, and we can get into this, but when people over 40 are telling me, you know, the reasons why they can't get started or they feel like it's too late, it's like, no way, I can bust your excuses. I can get you going. I promise.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? I will with you, but I also do this on our other podcasts, and it kind of shows how far I've come. I've had to work on a lot of my mental health issues. And incidentally, I'm doing a recording at 3 today with one of our gals who specializes more in the psychological side of fitness and just emotional eating, binge eating, body image, all of that stuff that you know comes with, really, I'm going to say more on the females versus men. Men don't seem to have those, the insecurities that we do. But the more that I've come to understand my internal dialogue and my insecurities and my issues and share them and feel comfortable sharing them. Number one, I've had more and more women go, oh my God, that was me too. And I think I'm going to pose this as a question to you. You're the expert here on the show. I'm the typical female consumer. I've been at the beginning. I'm at a better place now. I'm fortunate enough to be surrounded by people like you. But Chris, would you agree? I know in my case, like when you say all these women give those excuses, I don't have time, I have kids, my metabolism has slowed down, I've tried everything. I'm sure you've also heard that I'm using air quotes. I've tried everything. Nothing works for me. I must be the only person that can't lose weight. I must be the only person who's just destined to be this size, blah, blah, blah. I know that when I really started addressing why I was back in the day making excuses, and sometimes I make excuses now, it really is for me. When I dial it back and try to reverse engineer that thought process, ultimately I'm scared. I'm trying to make excuses to not start going to the gym, to not start working with a personal trainer, because what I think deep down inside, I'm going to do that and I'm going to fail and I'm going to look stupid. Do you think that's kind of at the heart of a lot of people making excuses as well?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, women, especially, like you said, we beat ourselves up way more than men do, right? But, you know, a lot of women will say, you know, I'm afraid to start. You know, they're fearful of what perhaps they might look like. They're fearful of the fact that they might not succeed and reach their goals. And they're fearful, as we get older, of injury. I mean, I talk to a lot of women who go, I can't get started. You know, I feel like my knees are bad, my hip is bad, my shoulder's bugging me. I'm afraid to get started with fitness. And I'm like, hey, this is my favorite line. I use it every day somewhere, whether it's online or in person, but motion is lotion. As you get older, if you aren't using your joints, it's going to get worse and worse. So you are so much better off moving your joints, moving your hips, your knees, your ankles, your back, your shoulders. Like, you have got to move, or, you know, you will become the Tin Man. And believe me, I mean, I joke all the time. I get out of bed in the morning, my husband and I, we're both, he's 53, I'm 52. We get up and we're like, okay. Put one foot in front of the other. It's like you're a little stiff. And I'm like, oh my God, who have I become? But within a few minutes, or I should say even a few seconds, like everything starts to feel better. Well, that's called osteoarthritis. That's just as we get older, wear and tear of the joints. But the important message is, if you stop moving, things get worse. So motion is lotion. But back to your thing about women having fear of failure. Yeah, I mean, I have that fear. I have that fear in a lot of different situations in my life. And like you, Kelly, I worked a lot on the mental side of realizing that life is messy. I've really embraced, I am a huge follower of Brené Brown, who is from Houston, Texas. So she's in your area. And I follow her. She has a new book out called Braving the Wilderness, but I've read all four of her books. I like stalk her online, but she kind of changed my life like 4 years ago, because I started realizing life is messy. Vulnerability and shame and worry and all the, they're icky, messy emotions. But at the same time, everybody experiences them. So why not embrace them and realize you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be good at it. You don't have to lose. And the other problem with fitness is people expect immediate results. Well, that is not going to happen when you're over 40 or over 50. You're not going to lose 10 pounds in a day or 2 days or, you know, the week before spring break. It's going to take some time. And so you just kind of have to embrace the process, like trust the process and go for the small wins and allow yourself to make mistakes.
You said so many truth gems there, and I was writing that down. We should also link in the show notes to Brené Brown's new book and her other books, because she has some fantastic ones on just the mindset. And, you know, I used to be that person that would roll my eyes about anything that was self-help books, but yet, you know what? The people that constantly fuel themselves and work on that, whether it's business books in addition to self-help books, but, you know, just becoming self-aware, figuring yourself out and becoming better, you know, those are the people that are happy. It's people like I used to be that are skeptical and angry and bitter and jealous. I mean, who wants to be that? No one. I mean, let's work on being happy. And to what you said about, you know, with this journey, and there's a lot of vulnerability. That's a perfect word. And I'm talking to all the ladies that are listening. I know what you feel like. And guess what? It doesn't just, you won't just feel that vulnerable and insecure about your body at the beginning. You might start, you know, a fitness journey in your 30s. And then to what Chris said, 40 hits. And for some of us, it's 40. I remember people saying to me, oh, wait till you hit 40. And this was in my 30s. And I would roll my eyes and go, shut up. And 40 came and went for me. And it was fine. I think for me, it was about 40, I say I'm 48. I think it was about 42, 43 is when like the shit really hit the fan. And my hormones were like, yeah, I'm going to check out for a while. And weight gain. And all of a sudden I was sweating when I was wearing the same deodorant my whole life. I it didn't work anymore. I started getting migraines. I just, no matter what I did in the gym, it didn't matter. So everything fell apart. I didn't at that time realized that I should get blood work done and look at my hormones. But yeah, it's going to happen. And I know that so many women, they automatically think when those types of things happen, you start to gain weight there. And here's a question for you. I think a lot of women that have, again, they've experienced weight gain, they have no energy, they've had kids, maybe they've had kids and they have this crazy job that they've gone back to. And all of a sudden, you know, again, maybe they're not even working out, but instead of staying at the same weight, they're gaining weight. And then they have all of these issues. They're gaining weight in places they've never had it before. Maybe all of a sudden it's on their belly where it used to just be on their thighs, whatever. So many of them, I think it's a female trait that we are so automatically used to finding a way to justify and go, oh, it must be my hormones. Oh, it must be stress. Oh, it must be, it's that time of the month. Oh, it just was that time of the month. Oh, it is that time. And like, we always say it's something we shouldn't really take seriously and therefore we ignore it. I think it's true with pain. We have that with little pains, aches and pains. We won't go to the doctor because we say, oh, you know, this is why that's happening. And then we push it to the side and we don't give it a lot of credence. But then we just deal with all of these symptoms, as opposed to if you want to get healthy, if you want to lose weight and you're experiencing the opposite where you're gaining, what you're saying and what you and I both know is there is an answer. It's not just your body. It's not just your age. It's not just because you've had kids. I mean, Chris, you have kids. What do you say to women like that actually think, there's no way I can get fit? And there's no way, I bet you hear, have a lot of women that look at you and go, I would love to get as fit as you. There's no way I can get that fit.
Well, so here's the thing. I would say, like everything you just said, you know, like you and I were preaching to the choir back and forth at each other. We could give each other a big old hug right now.
I'm doing it from Austin to Minneapolis right now.
Right, right. But so here's the thing. Okay. Well, what is fit anyway? All right. So, you know, when you get to be 45, 50, like I have a bunch of friends, we were just recently having this conversation. We're like, are you trying to squeeze into a size 4? You don't have to. Like, and listen, I'm not telling people not to lose weight or not to do this or not, but you know, the chance of you getting like a complete washboard abs at age 50, and believe me, I'm not a pessimist. I am an optimist, but that might not happen. But could your abs lose some weight and could you look a little better and could you squeeze into maybe one size less? Yes, you could. You know, so set your goals realistically. Like, here's how I look at fitness, and I have a new e-course coming out in January. We're actually doing a beta test right now. We have 25 women going through the beta test. It's been like so incredibly exciting. I literally am like left to tears every week because I'm so excited about what they're saying. But even though I love fitness, the first thing you have to start with is your mind. You have to, especially as females, we got to start with our mind and kind of figure out that deep, dark why, like you were saying. Like, why do you want to get healthy? Why have you fallen off this health journey? What are your fears? What are the things that are holding you back? What things don't you know? So you're a little afraid to try. So get your whys down and get your mindset and start thinking positive, because nothing productive can happen when you're experiencing negative emotions. So as you said earlier, Kelly, when you're jealous, angry, bitter, you get nothing done because you circulate in this swirl of negativity. So you have to be positive to be productive. So you got to change those
those emotions, as well as your self-talk, to be more about positivity and accepting yourself. After you've worked on mindset, we go to meals, because 80% of your fitness is what you put in your mouth. I mean, you can run all darn day on a treadmill, but if you eat like crap, you're not going to make progress. So, and as we women get older, like, anything you eat affects your body so much differently. Like, you know, when you were 20, you could eat a pizza at 2 a.m. It was like, well, okay, I'm okay. You know, you do that at age 50 and you feel like crap the next morning. You can barely get out of bed. So it really affects your body, right? And so you have to start really paying attention to what you're putting in your mouth and why, you know, how to eat more healthy. And how. And I think when women get to like 40s and 50s, they're past the whole, like, looking at the media saying, lose 10 pounds tomorrow. Nobody believes that. You know, we're too smart. We're too savvy. I'm like, I don't believe that crap. I'm not going to tell anybody I'll help you lose 10 pounds in a week. I'm going to tell you how to get on track and educate you, because the more you know, the better choices you'll make. So after you get through food, the third M is movement. So you go meal, mindset, meals, and movement. I always teach the three M's. And then once you get into movement, you start to pick things that you like to do. Like, there are no rules. No one says you have to go do CrossFit to lose weight. Like, if you hate CrossFit, don't do it. If you don't like to swim, for God's sake, don't get in a pool. Like, do what you like to do. I'm always telling women, do you like to dance? Do you like to jump? Do you like to swim? Do you like to do HIIT training? Do you like to bike? Do you, you know, what do you do? What floats your boat? Because that's what you're going to stick with. Because really the health journey as we get older is about habits. And when you create habits, you know, it's just like, we love habits as we get older. It's like, oh, I get up in the morning and I have my cup of coffee and I do this and I sit this way and I sit in this chair and I eat this for breakfast. We love habits. Mm. So if you could create healthy habits within your daily routine, your weekly routine, your monthly routine, things start to get better. The other thing I would say, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much, Kelly.
this is why we're here, babe. Don't let me talk. And well, I don't mean that in a snotty way.
No, I totally get it. It's kind of like I said earlier, embrace the process. It can be kind of slow when we get older. So I was just, I'll use an example of a woman I saw today. This is a true story. She came to my spinning class for the last 15 years. She's awesome. And I was talking to her today and she has made drastic changes in her body. She's over 60, she told me, which I could not believe, because seriously, I would put her at 50. And she told me she's a cancer survivor, which I remember her coming to spin class all through cancer. But she said, you know, her doctor finally said that she couldn't get off a certain medication because she was considered obese on the obesity scale because of her weight and her BMI. And so she was like, you know, and her body fat content. And so she said, you know what? I have to make this change. I've got to do something. So she started focusing on more strength training. She started changing her diet. But what she said to me, she said, her body looks completely different than it did 2 years ago. And she said, well, here's the thing. I've gained 5 pounds of muscle. I've lost 20 pounds of body fat. And I've completely kind of redone my body over the time. But the key phrase was over the course of 2 years. Now, for some people, they might go, oh, well, that's depressing. It took 2 years. But it was like, are you kidding me? Like, she was in it for the long haul. And she's off the medication that the doctor told her she couldn't get off of. She feels like $1 million. She's got energy. Her hair, she said, is so much healthier. Her, like, everything in her life changed. And it wasn't, you know, a 1 week fix. It wasn't the 21 day, you know, detox. It was a 2 year journey to better health. But holy cow, does she look amazing. And she's 60. What if she lives to be 85? That's 25 more years that she has to live. Like, that's a crazy amount of time, you know?
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
That's awesome on so many levels. And I want to first go back to something you said, but that story is incredible because it's going to bring up, I'm going to come back to that story. But what, one of the things that you said right before that was, you know, you were telling a lot of the women that you work with, you're saying, look, what do you like to do? And you're asking them, do you like to dance? Do you like to do this? And I used to have the wrong mindset of saying, well, so, like, I remember when I started lifting weights, I thought everybody has to go to the gym and do what I'm doing. You have to go to the gym and you have to train with, like, back then I was training with Jay, and he would have me do an hour of weight training. And then he'd say, get on the treadmill for 45 minutes. Now, today, I would never spend 2.5 hours, and then I would go for half an hour in the sauna, and it was all about punishment and how fast can I lose the weight, unrealistic expectations. I have a litany of lessons I can share with everybody. Not to blame my trainer. I mean, that was also the mindset back then, and he was more into bro science, so we get it, right? But I used to not understand when I would hear a trainer or somebody else say, well, what do you like to do? Because I thought, well, wait a second. If I want to lose weight, here's what I have to do. I used to think it was, if you want to lose weight, you have to do the highest intensity cardio for the longest amount of time. And that's not really true necessarily. There's more ways to skin a cat, right? But secondly, right. Back to what you said, if you view getting fit as you are punishing yourself, there are some people that are crazy like me that, you know, for a while that worked. The self-loathing that I carried it like it was a Prada bag. I was like, well, here I am, you know, just leave me alone with my negative self-talk. I'm having a good time over here. But how much better I have become because I realized, number one, I've got to stop that. So you're right. The mindset has to stop. But yeah, ladies, find what you love to do. If that's Zumba, go nutty. If it's spinning, have at it. If you want to, you know, you might read a lot and it'll say, you'll see a lot now in the media that, you know, high intensity cardio is better. I think a lot of people will agree to that. But if you like to go and do kickboxing and yet nobody's really doing kickboxing and you think, oh, is that bad? Should I not do it? If you love kickboxing, freaking do kickboxing. You know, that's what's going to get your endorphins going and whatever. And ultimately, you'll stick with it. So I love that you brought that up because I don't think, I certainly think if somebody just was getting started, they're going to think, oh, well, I should just go gluten-free. I should just stop carbs. I should just run because everybody says that if you want to lose weight, you should just run. And if you haven't lost weight, just run, or excuse me, you haven't lost any weight, run more. And if you still haven't lost weight, run more and eat less. Have you, that actually, and I'll get back to that story in a second. Do you have a lot of folks that you work with that are your clients that have that mindset that you have to fix as well? And I think it's very common with women. They think it excessive cardio, eating less, and not paying attention to weights is the answer to getting fit. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would say that mindset is still out there. I think we're getting educated. So my business is now all online. Everything I do is training online, and I have a streaming service, which we can talk about, which is all different kinds of workouts, from everything from weight training to cardio to combination of circuits and intervals and, you know, dance and yoga and Pilates and all that good stuff. But here's the thing, you know, as we get older, you know, we realize, okay, so there's two different philosophies going on. Let me say this. I have some women who come to me and say, my trainer said, don't do cardio anymore. I'm doing too much cardio. And like, that drives me crazy on the flip side of what you just said, because I'm like, do you have a heart in your body? Oh, you have a heart in your body? Well, then guess what? You should be exercising your heart, because heart disease is the number one killer of women in America. And the only way to exercise your heart is to get your heart rate up. So to your point, like, do Zumba, you know, do go biking, go swimming, go whatever, get your heart rate up. Everybody needs cardio, whether it's because you want to burn calories or just to keep your heart in shape. But strength training is the gem as we get older. And again, you don't have to do, like you were saying, go to the gym and spend an hour using machines or using barbells or what. You know, weight training can be a whole lot of things. It can be body weight training. It can be pull-ups and push-ups and squats and lunges at the park. It could be, you know, picking up a set of dumbbells. It could be using a kettlebell. It could be throwing a medicine ball. It could be, you know, using a TRX suspension system. I mean, there's so many ways to weight train, but as we get older, the muscle starts to deteriorate if we aren't using it. And that is really the secret for women as we get older. Kind of what I was saying earlier, when you can tell if someone's working out when they're in their 40s and 50s, because they look different, because they have that muscle composition, which is, you know, muscle is denser. So it's going to be more compact than body fat. So you might weigh more than you want to. Like, I have a lot of women who go, oh, I weigh too much. It's like, who cares what you weigh? Can you zip your jeans? If you can zip your jeans and you feel like your arms look good and you're feeling strong, then who cares how much you weigh? Because the secret is muscle for your metabolism. So muscle burns more calories at a resting heart rate than body fat does. And muscle keeps you more capable and able and makes you feel more confident during the day and the week and the month to do all sorts of things. I mean, I talk to women who say, I just want to play with my little kids. I talk to women who say, I want to play with my grandkids. I nanny my grandkids twice a week, and I got to be able to get up and down off the floor, and I got to be able to run, you know, at the park after them. And I want to be able to swing on the swing set, and like all those wonderful things and joys that come with aging in our lives. But something I would say, Kelly, you know, I love, what I love about you is your incredible, willingness to wear it on your sleeve, right? You're telling everybody how you feel, and you're not perfect. You're like, hey, these are the things that happened to me. Well, I feel the same way because in my late 40s, early 50s, like right when I was turning 50, I went through like a six month period. And I'm saying this because a lot of women, like you said in the beginning, say, oh, well, Chris, you're fit. You've been fit your whole life. Like, you don't know what it's like not to be fit, or you don't know what it's like not to feel good. But it was like, literally, this was about 2-3 years ago. I teach class at 5:30 in the morning. And I went through this like 6 month period where I would say to my husband, I don't know what the hell is wrong with me, but I feel like I have fibromyalgia. Like, I can barely move. I get to the gym. I'm teaching the class, but I'm just going through the motions. I'm looking at all these people out in the audience and they're killing it, right? And I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? But habit keeps it going, right? I'm the teacher. I'm there. I'm doing it. And I went through this like really low place for like 6 months in terms of just the way I felt. Got to the doctor and had my blood work and stuff. And she said, well, how you feel? And I said, you know, I have not felt that great. To be quite honest, I've had low energy. I felt like I had this, I had that. But, you know, because I've established these habits over the course of my life, I guess I just kept going. I mean, I just kept doing what I know to do because that's who I am. But she goes, well, I'll tell you what, you're through menopause. Your hormones, your estrogen, your progesterone, you're through menopause. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And she said, no, you made it through. Now, not that everybody should make it through drug-free. I have lots of people I work with that are on hormone replacement. And, you know, and but it was interesting. My doctor said to me, if you came to me and said, listen, I am at a point where I'm about to knock my head through a wall, I would probably suggest hormones of some sort for you. But she said, the fact that you went through it and you're fine and your hormone levels are down now and things are going to kind of start to go in a different direction for you now, hey, you did it. And I thought to myself, holy crap, like I had no idea. But I share this story because I think a lot of women, like our hormones fluctuate and you go from feeling like you're on top of the mountain to feeling like you can barely drag yourself out of bed. And it's just that incredible hormone fluctuation. But going back to what I said, if you create habits where you ignore your feelings, you don't go with, oh, this is how I feel today. But you're like, hey, I work out every day at 5:30. So this is what I'm going to do, whether I feel great or feel horrible. You'll make it through. Does that make sense?
It does. And you touched on quite a lot of things that for me make sense. I mean, I think what I've recognized, and as I was listening to you, I'm thinking about, okay, you know what one of the gems that's come out for me in my fitness journey, and particularly most recently dealing with, like for me, when my hormones started, and it wasn't menopause yet, it was perimenopause, like at 40, 42. And I don't know what they'd label me now, but I don't think I'm in menopause. But for me, that was like the beginning of that time period of, okay, everything's different. I'm playing in a whole different like ballpark now. But what has come out of that is, and this can be for women of any age, because guess what? Hormones can start messing with you when you're in your 30s. I have a good friend, Sherry, she's 28. She's had more hormone issues than I've had and weight issues and whatnot. I've become so much more in tune and mindful of my body and how it works. And that is an advantage, I think, because the more that you tune in, like for you, you knew you weren't feeling well and you were aware of it, but again, you kept going. You didn't throw in the towel. And for me, I know at this point in my life, I have so many hormone issues, Hashimoto's, insulin resistance. I mean, you name it, I've got it. I always say, I joke that I went through the hormone drive-through and I said, I'll have one of everything. Every issue, just give me three or four of those. Thanks. Make it a double. That'd be great. And so I know that, for example, like right now, I just went to see my doctor, Dr. Sebring. He's actually been on the show here in Austin. And when I brought my blood work in, and I know it was from stress. Stress elevated my cortisol, all these other things. They elevate that wonderful symphony of hormones that we have. And so when I got my blood work back, he's like, wow, your testosterone went really low and your estrogen went high. Well, guess what I had noticed? As I've been losing weight this summer, my boobs got really, really small. Like I had to go buy all new bras. And I'm like, that's cool because I've lost fat, right? And my butt, I lost it in my butt. And suddenly in the course of a month, my boobs, it's like somebody took a bicycle pump and They're like, here you go. Here's your boobs back. And I'm like, you know what? I just went and bought all new bras. But again, the ability to be in tune with your body, and instead of going, what the hell's wrong with me? You just take a step back and go, okay, I know to some degree there's a medical reason for this. And you give yourself compassion. You give yourself a break, because as women, we deal with a hell of a lot of crap that men don't have to deal with from a health perspective, and more power to us. I mean, damn, Chris, the fact that you went through menopause, you didn't even know it. That's freaking awesome.
Well, and you know, of course you're aware of it, but like, yeah, I did it without hormones. However, that doesn't, you know, necessarily mean, like I said, that doesn't mean that I believe that that's how you should do it. You just hit the nail on the head. Listen to your body, talk to your friends, talk to your doctor, and make decisions that work for you, whether it's hormones, whether it's food, but you have to be your own best advocate, and you are never too late. You are never too old to get on that health journey. I always look at it, like I said earlier, if you're 50, let's say you're turning 50 and you're going to live to be 90, that is 40 years of life that you still have ahead of you. That's like going back to when you were 10 years old and looking forward. I don't even know what I was doing when I was 10. If I have 40 more years of life, I want those years. I don't just want more years. I want those to be good years. So for us females, it's like now, at least at this point in my life, my kids are grown. My job is really busy, but I'm no longer driving kids to hockey and dance and this and that. Like, I need to listen to my body. I need to eat the right foods. I need to educate myself so that I'm making good choices. I need to create the habits that will help me into old age. And those are the things that I share with other women online, is like helping everybody get there. The other thing that I would say that you kind of reminded me about, and that I talk to a lot of women online about, is giving yourself some grace. Because like back when I was 30, you know, and I taught, you know, 5 high intensity interval classes a week. And I would be like, you know, women would come up to me and they're like, oh, I'm 45. I can't do this every day. And I'd be like, oh, what do you mean you can't do this every day? I can, you know what I mean? I'm 30. You're only 45. Well, holy cow. You know, the years make a difference. So as I've gotten older, and especially when I hit that 50, I realized, oh, I need to exercise a little differently. Maybe I only do high intensity intervals once a week. I need more low impact in my life. I've got to stretch more. Running has become not really a good thing for my body. It doesn't mean for other people's bodies, but right, for my body, it's causing a lot of knee pain. However, lunging and squatting and walking does not hurt my knees. So logic tells me don't run, right? I've learned that I need more recovery time. I learned that I need to be really smart about what I eat before a workout. I learned, you know, lots of things. So I like tell women all the time, just ebb and flow and be kind to yourself. I mean, just because someone, maybe you're in a group fitness class and the person next to you is jumping off the ground 3 feet and you're jumping 2 inches, who cares? Own it. Just own it. Just do what works for you and have your small wins and, you know, move forward in your journey. And, you know, it's really so exciting, I think, for all of us females that we're starting to understand our bodies more and we're starting to pay more attention and talk about it with each other. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think, like, that's what I put my little notes here, because I thought, you know what, I want to close this show and we're going to have Chris back on the show. See, I'm just assuming the sale. I'm assuming you're going to be. I think there's so much we can talk about here, but I wanted to give, like, from my side of the table as the typical newbie, when I think about all of the women that are listening that maybe thought they couldn't get started, they either think because they've had kids, because they think nothing has worked, because they're past 40, or they're in menopause, or they're past menopause, or they're impairing, for whatever reason. Ladies, if you're listening and you think you can't do it and you've started to hear this interview, to me, the big things that I want to get out there, if someone says, you know, what would you say to the newbies out there? I say, number one, whatever it looks like, don't go it alone. And by that, I mean, it doesn't mean you have to get a gym membership and go with a buddy to the gym. That's what it might look like for you if that's what you want. What I mean is, don't start your fitness journey and say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody about my goals. I'm not going to share. So I'm going to be going to the office and packing my lunch and trying to eat healthy and not tell anybody. And then I'm going to be at home and I'm kind of just going to wing it and figure, you know, I'm going to make this for lunch and hope it's okay. Don't go it alone. Find your community. There's a whole different world of, there's a world of difference, if you will, when you connect with other people, both from a more experienced side that can be your guide, but also community so that you can learn. I mean, again, think about all the gems Chris has shared, both with folks that she's worked with, but also, you know, just talking, you guys hearing my experience. Why have I become better and better and better? Why is it at age 48, I feel better about myself and better about my ability? I've just shared, I had a rough 7 weeks where I missed, I think I told my trainer, I missed 24 sessions because of being sick. I had to go to the doctor. Why do you think I feel better at 48 to say, you know what? I did 7 steps forward, 2 steps back, but you know what? I'm going to get those 2 steps back. And then I'm going to take 8 steps forward instead of, because I know myself, I've become kinder to myself, and I'm surrounding myself with the right people. So to me, the big thing is don't wing it. Don't go it alone. And for us in closing, Chris, I'd like to ask you, I want you to tell everybody, of course, we want to link up to this in the show notes. Tell them about your amazing websites, because I can tell you, and I don't know if I told you this, Chris, before the show, I think your website is one of the best in the fitness market. I mean, at Fitfluential, we have envy because we've been redoing our site lately. And I actually, when we scheduled your podcast, I'm like, Chris is one of the best people in the industry. Look at what she's offering for the clients that come here. Look at all the amazing content. Look at the colors. So everybody, Chris, I'm going to hand it back to you in a second. I want you to tell everybody where to find you online, where they can find your training programs, because you have, and you also have an amazing deal for the Fitfluential community. But in closing, what would you say to all of the beginners out there? I said, don't go it alone and don't wing it. Give them your final one or two tips and then tell them where they can find you, and then we'll have you back on the show in the future.
Okay. So for beginners who haven't started and they're like, you know, like you, we talked about, fearful or not sure what to do, I would say start with baby steps. Strive for progress, not perfection. You know, just anytime you come out of the gates and you do too much too soon, you end up sore, you end up injured, you end up unhappy, you end up defeated. So just go for the small wins and realize that this is a process, that this is a journey, and add something new every week. Just do those small steps. That's always been my approach to fitness, though. And I think that has differentiated me in the marketplace is it's about realism. I'm a realist. Like, I am never going to tell you that you're going to lose 10 pounds next week, because that's probably not going to happen. So be very, you know, go for the small wins. Hashtag winning. That's my thing. Hashtag winning.
So true.
Yeah. So Kelly, thank you. So that was really sweet of you to say. So our website, gethealthyyou.com, is a free website where basically it's filled with advice, lifestyle, fitness, written workouts, information about menopause and injury prevention, and over 1,000 healthy eating recipes. So that's Get Healthy You. Get Healthy You TV is the membership website. So you join as a member, and once you're a member, you have access to streaming anytime, anywhere, any device, over 150 workouts. So we have, you know, a lot of them are me because it's a lot of my content, but there are seven other trainers actually on the website. So we have everything, like I said, from HIIT to circuits to yoga to dance to Pilates to strength training, kettlebells, step, medicine ball, resistance bands. I mean, like, we've got everything. We create a new live workout every Monday. So every Monday I come live at 9 a.m. or one of the trainers, and we do a live workout with our audience. But you don't have to watch it live. It goes into your account. So let's say you're a member, Kelly. Every Monday when you go into your account, you have a brand new workout in there. So you're getting 52 new workouts a year. Plus we add in programs. So it's really great. I mean, like I said, I started making VHS tapes and then DVDs, and I got this fan base of people who were following my workouts, but I was doing this for other companies. So they wasn't my content. It belonged to other brands. And I started realizing, you know what? All these people would write to me, when's your next DVD? When's your next DVD? And I was like, all right, it's time for me to own my content and create my own, you know, space where I can work out with these people. So it's been super exciting. We have a deal for the Fitfluential community, Kelly. So we have a coupon code, which is FITGOLD20, FITGOLD20. And when you use that coupon code, and I'll give you the correct URL
that you can put in the show notes. You can join the membership for $20 for the year. So that's like $1.60 a month if you amortize it, which is ridiculous. I know people say to me all the time, Chris, why do you do that? So here's why we do this. My marketing partner and I, what we do is we expect that if at the end of the year, if you've enjoyed it, you will renew for the $134, which is $11 a month, which is still ridiculously cheap. And our renewal rate's like 60-70%. So that's what we go off of. So we give it to you for an amazing deal for the first year. So I would love it if, you know, anyone listening decides to join. And we do have a private Facebook community that's ridiculously engaged. Like, ridiculous. It when you talked about finding your community, whether it's, you know, you're a friend-based person to person or an online community, it's truly like I go there for motivation myself every day because I'm like, boy, you women are amazing. They support each other.
It is. It really is true. I personally think it's like, and I'm not doing that to be self-serving and go, oh yeah, well the number one thing you need is community. And by the way, fitfluential.com. I mean, I'm not that psychotic. I'm proud of what I have, but the truth is when you have that place, wherever it is to go, you know what? I am so down. I feel fat. I'm just upset, blah, blah, blah. Those people will lift you up. And I don't care where it is. That's one thing that's great about the fitness community is everybody wants to help everybody. And again, it can be anything. It can be your program. It could be Fitfluential at large. It could be bodybuilding.com for the people over there. Everybody that I've seen, you know, there's some elitists and there's some bad people in every category, but I think the accountability in the community is probably one of the number one, maybe it's tied with just kind of dealing with the mental. You've got to deal with, and I love that that's what you start with is the mental side of it, because if you don't get that right, and that is an ongoing journey, you'll never, I think, long-term succeed. So that was wonderful. And you guys, for that deal, there's no reason why every single one of you that's interested shouldn't snap that up in 2 seconds. I mean, $20, I don't even think I can get two Starbucks for that. That's just,
you know, nowadays you can't. And Kelly, I will say, you know, and to all of you listening, that's one of the reasons that I've followed Kelly over the years is I've loved your message. I love how real you are. I feel like I said, group hug. I'd love to give you a hug through these phone lines because, you know, it is about helping other people understand that perfection isn't out there. And it's okay to just, you know, make small wins. And, you know, the community that you created too, this whole Fitfluential family is amazing. So, you know what, we have to stick together. We have to keep helping people. And hey, you know, we're all going to age gracefully the best we can and it's all good.
That's right. And on a side note, I will have you back because I think hearing your business story for so many women in our community are entrepreneurial minded, whether they've started or not. And hearing how you saw that opportunity back before being an entrepreneur was cool is awesome. So, you know, I learned something more fantastic about you each time we connect. So more power to you, Chris. It has been obviously a pleasure. I know our audience that listened to this show will feel the same way. For everybody listening, again, just remember everything in the show notes is available at fitfluentialradio.com. We plan to have Chris back on the show. If you have any particular questions that you want me to forward to her, or if you say, hey, when she's back on the show, I'd love it if you guys did a deep dive on this. Email us at podcast@fitfluential.com and we will make sure that we address that and plan. I hope to be on location with Chris somewhere. We want to take the Fitfluential show on the road next year, so I'm excited about that. But make sure that you tune in. Of course, we will link up to Get Healthy You, Get Healthy You TV, all of the codes that Chris mentioned that I'm not doing as well. We'll be there in the show notes. Thank you guys for tuning in. Chris, thank you so much for being here. And for everybody listening, thanks again. We will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.